Transform your life today. Welcome to Supercoach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is, what do human beings do? And the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life are 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, followed by 760-918-4300. And before I set the table talking about the topic, I want to make a couple of announcements just because there's a lot going on for us right now. We are in the midst of an amazing teleclass series called A Taste of Supercoach Academy, and you can sign up for free at supercoachacademy.com. And it's a chance to hear from some of the, I believe, finest transformative coaches in the world. So we've already had calls with Steve Chandler, with Robert Holden, who's one of my good friends here at Hay House, with an amazing woman named Nancy Klein, and with two brilliant business coaches, Mara Gleason and Dr. Aaron Turner. And if you sign up today, you can still go live on our call tomorrow with Dr. George Pransky, and on Saturday with where I'll be in conversation with my friend Bill Cumming, who's also been a guest on this show frequently. And of course, if you sign up, you will also be able to get recordings of the calls you've missed. So I highly recommend that if you're interested in coaching and the kind of work that I do with people on this show. And of course, you can also join us next year to train at supercoachacademy.com. So, topic of the show, what do human beings do? I first noticed this a couple of years ago. In fact, I was working with Dr. George Pransky, who's going to be our guest on this teleseries tomorrow. And I noticed that he had a way of asking questions that sort of took me out of my own personal sense of, boy, I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. And it enabled me to kind of see the impersonal nature of what was going on with me. And when I asked him about it, he talked about how there are different levels you can look at life from. And at one level, it's like the you're looking from one foot away. So it's really happening and it's real and it's immediate and this is my life and this is what I've got to deal with and or yay, depending on what kind of an experience it is. You can then go up to, let's call it a 1,000-foot view. And from 1,000 feet, you can see how what's going on for you now fits into the larger pattern of your life. And that's the level of a psychological intervention. So we start to see our patterns. We start to see, gosh, this happens a lot where I get into this kind of situation and then have this kind of reaction or behave in this kind of a way. And that can be useful and bring awareness, but that kind of awareness doesn't so much lead to the solution to problems as to a better label for them. It's like, well, now I know what my problem is. My problem is I have self-sabotage, or my problem is I'm just no good with money, or my problem is I just get nervous in public, or whatever it is. So then, and this is what I think really set George's work apart for me, is he had a sort of a 50,000-foot view. And that 50,000-foot view is what we're going to talk about today. And it's looking at our behaviors and our thoughts and our patterns, not simply in terms of what's typical for us, but what's typical for human beings. Because chances are whatever's going on for us is going on in some way for every human being on the planet. And when we look at our life, our problems, our challenges, from the point of view of, well, what do human beings do in this situation? What do human beings do when somebody they love dies? What do human beings do when they're not enjoying their work, but they feel like they have to stay? What do human beings do when they have to deal with difficult people? What do human beings do when they fall in love? Not looking for the right answer, not looking for what do exceptional human beings who are brilliant at mastering any kind of situation do, but how do human beings deal with these kinds of problems? And from that point of view, it can be quite extraordinary what you begin to see. So we'll talk about that more during the show. If you want to get coaching on having what you want, thriving, numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada or from outside the U.S. You can reach the show by dialing your country code and then 760-918-4300. And let's go straight to the phones. Let's go to Tacoma, Washington, and let's speak to Joanne. Joanne, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Well, hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very frustrated, and I don't want to complain, but I am finding it so hard getting a paid job and everything that, nowadays I think that, oh my gosh, I've zipped into a new age where they no longer have to reply. They no longer have to even look and say anything. Nobody tells me what it is that they want from me. I have credentials and I'm applying for exactly the job that I want and I don't seem to get it. They don't even kind of look at me. And then I apply for jobs that I like, folding towels and cleaning toilets, which I think that, oh my gosh, anyone can do that. I don't get looked at that either. And I'm going, well, what is it? What is it?
Right. Well, so, okay. Now, are you willing to play with this a little bit, Joan?
Sure.
Okay. So, again, because this is the show, this isn't really a technique. This isn't something that I teach as the question you must ask is you find your problem and then you ask, what do human beings do? And then you answer it. But let's look at this not from Joanne's perspective or even from Michael's perspective.
Okay.
But let's look at this from a human perspective.
Okay.
So one thing that I know and I don't think is contentious that is human beings get frustrated when they can't get what they want, when things don't seem to be working the way that they want to work. Would you say that's fair?
Very fair.
Okay. So what kinds of things do human beings do when they get frustrated?
I think they kind of shut down.
Okay, sure. So sometimes, absolutely.
They perhaps don't communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I can think of.
Well, now, as a rule, and obviously, everyone handles things in their own idiosyncratic way, but as
sure.
a rule, do people stay frustrated for the rest of their lives?
No.
Okay, so what is it that lets a person move beyond their frustration
hope.
Or let go of their frustration?
Hope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hope and acceptance. Hope, acceptance, and love, and security, and all of those things.
Okay. And where do those things come from? Where does hope come from?
Hope really comes from yourself. Yeah, well, hope really comes from within, yeah.
Hmm. So where's your hope right now?
My hope?
Yeah.
That's funny. In the toilet.
Right. See, which I'm guessing isn't within.
That's true.
And again, you can probably recognize that this happens to people, right? We get caught up. We get hopeless.
Yeah.
Our frustration in the moment starts to seem like it's not just of the moment. It's always been this way and it will always be this way.
Yes.
And we get a bit shut down.
Yeah.
And we lose touch with our creativity.
Yeah.
And if we let it, those thoughts can become self-fulfilling prophecies.
Okay, message heard.
And so I don't really have anything to add to that except just for you to see this happens, right?
Yeah.
And your own access to that creativity, to that creative force that's inside all of us, it hasn't really gone anywhere. It's just for the moment been a little bit shut down.
Okay. Yeah.
And you even know how to open it up.
Yeah, you are right. You're right because I have been hopeless about this, and that's exactly. I will sit right now, sitting at my computer, and I'm thinking, "Oh gosh, where am I going to go again? Why?" And this is what I'm thinking: why are they not even, even calling me back, even being courteous, even being? They don't have to, And I'm just creating more of that. It's like, I'm putting out. I should be really grateful enough that I can apply for these jobs and then let it go. And it has nothing to do with me. Okay.
And that's the thing is whether you should or you shouldn't.
Yeah.
When you see it a little more clearly, as I can hear you're seeing it now, you get, it's nothing to do with you. It's not personal. It's not the go get Joanne day.
Yeah. Okay. I think maybe I've been thinking a little bit about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I thank you. I have been thinking that, and I shouldn't be. That's the wrong way to think. No.
Well, only because it doesn't work.
Right.
And also possibly because it's not true. Other than that, it's great.
Well, listen, thank you very much, because I really needed to get that. I needed to get a pull out of the mud. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome, Joanne. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, and so often I use the analogy of, you know, a stick flowing down a river, that's one of the, seems to me, very accurate metaphors for our lives. And when a stick gets stuck, it doesn't need years of therapy. It usually just needs a nudge to get back into the flow. And with us human beings, that's the flow of life. That's the flow of our own wisdom. That's the flow of our own creativity. That's the flow of fresh thinking, seeing things with new eyes. And as soon as we get back into that flow, we move forward effortlessly. I heard yesterday on one of the Taste of Supercoach Academy calls, Aaron Turner said a beautiful thing. He said, really, if you understand life and the mind, it's a lot more like surfing than like swimming. Because in swimming, it's all down to you, and you've got to do it, and you've got to, you know, the power all has to come from you, your will, your adrenaline, your strength. And with surfing, while your ability to respond and be present and be adaptive all have a huge impact, the ultimate motive power that's moving you forward isn't you. It's the ocean. It's the energy of life itself. Let's go to London and let's talk to, I'm going to guess here, is it Ritu?
Yeah, hi. Hi,
Michael. Hey, Ritu. Hi, what are we talking about today?
You know what? I'm a little bit nervous because I've never gotten through to your call, but this is really amazing, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
What we're talking about is I've done a lot of different things in my life, and I find myself in a place where I have no more desire. So I've always been led by intuition, and, you know, I've done sustainability, I've done mergers and acquisitions, I've done everything. And now I just am at a place where I'm 35, I'm in M&A, but I can do anything. And I'm finding no meaning in anything.
Okay, so let's again, just because that we have a theme this week. Okay, so there's a million different ways we could go with this conversation. But because we have a theme this week, let's play with it. So do human beings, as a rule, from what you know of human beings, have times where they really sort of wrestle with meaning and meaninglessness in their lives?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems to me that that's the reason that there are philosophers in the world. And that we actually care, you know, what they come up with. So what are some of the things that you're aware of that human beings throughout time have done when faced with the sort of existential meaninglessness of existence?
I mean, you know, Jung, Dark Night of the Soul, be with yourself and go within. Buddhist meditators, I mean, the list is endless.
Right, and there is some theme. So one of the themes is going within. And it's interesting because the way you said it, I don't know if this is true, but what I heard was, you know, I can't find anything that inspires me that I really want to do. It sounds like you're looking for that outside.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
but I'm looking for a feeling state, which is, I've always had the feeling state, the internal. Always have the internal intuition and the connection, knowing, okay, I want to go down this path. And I've always followed it, and it's brought me to where I am right now. And this is the first time in my life that I'm actually doing a job which I followed, because I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. So I got an M&A job and I took it because I need to pay the bills. But
I'm sure I'm hearing you wrong, but I keep hearing you got an MMA job, which in America would mean mixed martial arts.
No, mergers and acquisitions. So I find
That makes the I mean, I had a great image for you sitting there on the phone, like all steroided up, ready to, you know, kick somebody's butt. But I guess mergers and acquisitions is a little bit like that. But okay, so if one of the human solutions to, you know, noticing that there is no inherent meaning, direction, or purpose in life, that to a certain extent we seem to be the ones who create the sense of meaning, the sense of purpose, the sense of direction.
It really is
about looking inside, and suddenly it stops mattering. It's funny. I was teaching a class yesterday, and I remembered a story I hadn't heard for years. But maybe you've heard it, but I was very into Zen and Buddhism for a while, and one of the stories that I just really remember was of a thief who was so moved by a Zen master that he became his student. And and over time, after 20, 30 years of contemplation and reflection and meditation, he too became enlightened. And when he became enlightened, he left the monastery and he went back to being a thief. And his followers, his disciples, were really puzzled. They were like, you know, oh, great master, why, you know, with all your wisdom and all your enlightenment, have you gone back to being a thief? And and his response was, well, everybody's got to do something.
Yeah.
And there's an element to which, when we really connect to that deeper feeling state inside us, to that place in us that's connected to the whole, it matters less and less what we do with our time for our job.
I totally agree, Michael. I honor my work. I'm present. I can do anything. That's what I'm saying. I can do anything. Mm-hmm. So should I just keep doing M&A with a great attitude and a lovely energy and a wonderful high? Or should I be thinking, okay, if I have 5 years or 10 years or 5 minutes left, maybe I should be doing something else?
Well, it depends. Do you want to enjoy your life? Or do you want to get it right by some sort of abstract standard that you would have to make up to know what it is?
I want to enjoy my life.
Well, it seems to me, and correct me if it doesn't seem this way to you, but it seems to me that if one of the options is to really enjoy your work and throw yourself in and have fun until, you know, unless and until you get a message and a movement towards something else, that would seem to me to be a way that you could really enjoy your life.
That's brilliant.
Well, thank you for calling.
I'm speechless.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm honored that you're speechless, but it makes for terrible radio. So thank you very much, and we'll move on. Thank you for calling, Ritu. And just if you can, actually, I've just found out that my Hay House session in London next Sunday is actually sold out now. But if you are in the UK and you want to come see me, you can either nip over to Gothenburg on Friday the 23rd, where I'll be speaking in Sweden, or you can go to Cheltenham, which is probably a little bit closer to home, and come see me Monday evening speaking in Cheltenham. And if you want more information on any of those events, go to supercoach.com, click on the calendar, and you'll find out more there. Let's go to Cambria, California, and let's speak to Lucille. Lucille, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. I love your metaphors. They really hit the mark when you're answering the question. But anyway, I get overwhelmed sometimes because I seem to be stuck in this wheel and I'm going nowhere, but I'm really trying hard. And I know, and I go within many times, but it doesn't seem to get me anywhere. And I just like recently had, put in my application at a community college to be a to work in the jobs program, which I have 10 years experience, but I'm 59 years old and I didn't even get an interview. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm listening. Okay. I sorry. I that that's I That works really well when we're in the room together because you have my complete attention, but I forget sometimes that on the radio I kind of have to go,
Okay.
I'm with you.
And I have a $70,000 student loan that is increasing with interest that I do put on the shelf because it would overwhelm me. And I've been doing this caregiving job that is draining my energy because it's driving me insane because the person has Alzheimer's. And because I am sometimes too much in my head, I know what I want to do. I want to, you know, conduct dream workshops, which I am doing, but I'm not getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the steps. I've been an employment counselor. I would love to be a life coach. And, you know, I come home and I go on the internet. You know, I do all the steps. And it's just, I don't know what the solution is.
Well, neither do I, but let's play around with it a little bit and see what comes up.
Okay.
So the first thing is, do you recognize that sense that you've got of you know, being stuck on a wheel, trying really hard but going nowhere, that's part of the human experience, that from time to time people feel that way.
Yeah.
And can you also see that another thing that happens to human beings is they get frustrated at the sort of sense that you know, boy, I don't like where I am, and I know where I want to be, but I don't know how to get from where I am to where I want to be. That just even having that gap between where I am and where I want to be, that's also just part of the human experience.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know anyone who has never had that experience, you know, over the age of six?
You know, sometimes surfers.
Yeah, well, and while they're surfing, that might be true. Though, actually, the surfers I know, I've seen get pretty pissed off if they don't get a good wave for too long.
Right.
So. So I'm not sure that even that, but so the thing that I wanted to pick up with you that just struck me that I thought was interesting is you said one phrase, and you probably didn't mean anything by it, but it just jumped out at me, and it was, you know, I've been going within, but that doesn't get me anywhere either.
That's not true. That's a lie.
Okay.
It does help me. It does help me, but you know, like it's just I have to keep doing it, and, you know, and it's just, I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Yeah, okay. Here's what I know. I know that with the best will in the world, if we look to the outside world to give us our sense of well-being, whether that's our job, our relationship, our income, our whatever it is, we are going to have the experience often, if not always, of frustration and disappointment and loss. And it's not because there's something wrong with us. It's because that's not where peace and well-being and happiness live.
Well, you know, I do understand that. I really, really do, because I've studied a lot and you know, read all the books. I've been with Hay House and listening from the onset for 11 years. But the thing is I feel like I should be at the point where, you know, my car is gushing oil. I need
a new car. Okay, hang on a sec. Hang on a sec, because what I just heard you say is, well, you know, I know that when I plant a seed, it takes time to grow. And I know that when I cut my finger, it takes time to heal. But, you know, I have a cut on my foot as well. And I have another plant over there that's not growing. So here's what I'm going to ask. Can you stay with me over the break?
Sure.
Okay, so you stay on. And just over the break, as best you can, just let yourself get quiet, and we're going to pick up with this conversation when we get back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and if you're listening, you can call in. Shannon is next in the queue, but if you want to get in, 866-254-1579 is the toll-free number to call. We will be right back with more after this break.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about what do human beings do, and sort of what I mean by that as a question is that when we start to notice that we can look at life completely personally, like it's all happening to us, and we can look at life in terms of the patterns of what's happening to us. But when we pull back a little bit further and see that whatever it is that's happening to us is part of the human experience, it often opens up space for new ideas, some fresh thinking, some fresh ideas. And of course, with that comes new possibilities. And just before the break, we were speaking with Lucille. So Lucille, are you still with us?
Hello.
Hello there.
I'm here.
Okay, fantastic. So now, Lucille, I'm going to do a very unfair summation of what you were saying before the break. Okay, and then you can fix it for me. So basically, okay. here's what I was hearing before the break is my life right now sucks, and if you're not getting that, it's because you don't get how bad it sucks. Would that be a fair summation, or am I exaggerating?
You're exaggerating.
Okay, so tell me the fair version.
Well, the fair version is I live in a beautiful spot. And I have all my art supplies that are staring at me because I would like to do stuff with them. I only have 2 days off a week. But here's the thing that I feel about life. Life is about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to be in love. Mm-hmm. And I have been on my own for 11 years. And I think this probably is up in my head or something, but if I had someone there, you know, as a partner for a little bit of support when life kind of hits blows at you, it would make the blows a little bit not hurt as much. And you definitely can't control that sort of area in your life of whether someone's going to come into your life.
So here's and I'm going to just ask a little bit of indulgence from you, because I may not be about to say what you want to hear, but I think if you listen, you will hear something useful.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. And you may or may not notice that there are tons of people in relationship who are miserable.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it can't be being in relationship that creates that sort of buffer. And I know exactly what you mean by that, that sense of, boy, you know what, circumstances are kind of crappy right now, but it's okay. It is, from what I can tell, is it's that sense of being connected. It's that sense of not being cut off and alone.
Yes.
And in my experience, the only thing that cuts us off from life is our own thinking.
That's true. You're so wise.
I have my moments. Fortunately, most of them happen on Thursdays between noon and 1 Pacific. But just knowing that, it lets you know I don't have to keep chasing. I don't have to chase a guy. I don't have to chase the right job. I mean, I'll do what I know to do to move my life forward in the direction that I do. But if, as best I can, I recognize that the wheel that I'm stuck on going nowhere is the wheel of thought.
Yes, you know.
That's the wheel worth stepping off whenever you can.
Yes.
And then you automatically, without having to do anything else, will find yourself reconnected with life.
Okay. Life does have its good moments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, hopefully for you as well as for me, this conversation's been one of them.
Oh,
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lucille.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, it's one of the problems with reading a lot of positive books or listening to a lot of positive shows is everything starts sounding like a cliche. And if you hear yourself out loud or in your head saying, I know, it's just thought, I know, it's inside me. I know. Well, no, you don't. You've heard it often enough that you know that that's one of the things people say. But to the extent, and most of us, it happens when we get a little bit quiet, to the extent that you can actually see it for yourself, to see the impact that your thinking has on your life, for better or for worse, to see that, in fact, the only thing that you can experience is your own thinking, reflected in your consciousness, then you also start to see pretty quickly that the place to turn when you're not enjoying your experience is to the source of that experience. It's to whatever it is that's behind thought, that's before thought. I tend to talk about that as mind. Other people talk about it as spirit or as source. I don't actually know what it is, but there clearly is something that's nothing, that's no thing, from which our thinking emerges. And that space of pure potential, that field of pure possibility, that energy behind life, before the form. If you look in that direction, it opens up a flow of fresh thinking. And with that fresh thinking comes fresh experience. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Santa Rosa and let's speak to Shannon. Shannon, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. I called because I've been struggling with the desire, of course, based on your other call, to leave my marriage for a couple of years. And within my marriage, I just don't feel fully committed. There's so much to be grateful for here and so much opportunity here of what I could create, but yet I can't seem to fully commit to it because I've got this lingering desire to like create something else and leave and have a different kind of experience that never goes away. And I don't feel like I'm fully in integrity either way, and it's causing problems.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. It's just the first question that arises for me. And understand, when I ask this question, it's not advice. It's not what I think you should do. It's just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you've had for a couple of years a desire and a sense to leave the relationship, why have you stayed?
For the security, for the partnership, for our dogs, for the things that I love about our life here, the opportunities of what I could create within this structure. It comes down to the present moment where I'm at a choice point, in a moment where it's like, do I really want to leave and go after this fantasy, or do I want to stay here? And in the present moment, I always choose to stay.
Okay. So I'm going to just ramble for a bit. Would that be okay?
Sure.
And then I'm going to check back in with you and we'll see if anything that I've rambled about strikes a chord. When I happen to love marriage and relationship. I think it's really fun. And I say that now, there are moments where you could catch me where fun would not probably be the word that would come to my mind, because I'm a human being in relationship with another human being, and we do very human things. And we get caught up and all of that that happens to everyone. And one of the differences is that I don't think either of us anymore sees that as a problem. We see that as part of what happens when two human beings try to live together for a long period of time. That, of course, from time to time, one or both of them are going to get caught up. And of course, from time to time, we're going to lose our bearings and start to think that our life is somebody else's fault. And of course, from time to time, we're going to start to get focused on the minutiae and sweat the small stuff. And because we know that that's all that's happening, neither of us takes it that seriously. I mean, in the moment we might, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't turn into something bigger. And when I've looked at the nature of relationships, when I've not at my relationship, but what it is for human beings to be in relationship. One of the things that has become very clear to me is that while human beings have lots of different reasons for being in relationship, most of them don't stand up to scrutiny. In other words, people use relationships, as you said, one of the things you talked about was for security. Well, there's nothing secure about a relationship. There's an illusion of security because there's an illusion that what was true yesterday will be true today and that, you know, what somebody thought today will be what they think tomorrow. But there's actually no inherent security in being in relationship. There are lots of other reasons people say. People say, well, I want to be in a relationship because I want to feel loved. Well, in my experience of relationship, sometimes you feel loved and sometimes you don't. And sometimes it seems to have something to do with your partner and sometimes it doesn't. People will say that they want to be in a relationship because it's important for the children. And when you speak to children who grew up in a home with parents who didn't like each other, my experience, and it might not be yours, but my experience is that very often those children say, God, I wish they'd split up 10 years earlier. Because what they actually pick up on is the energy and dynamic between the parents, not the fact that they're living in the same house. Now, understand, I love marriage. I'm a fan of marriage. I do not think that people should just walk away from relationships or marriage casually. But I also recognize that if the reason that somebody is in relationship is something that you can't get from a relationship, it's not going to work out. Now, there is, it turns out, from what I've seen about human beings and human relationships, there is a very, very, very good reason to be in relationship with another human being. And that's if you enjoy their company. Because there's no question about it, relationships act as amplifiers. When we're in relationship with other people, whatever's going on inside us and whatever's going on inside them gets amplified. It's like being in a funhouse, you know, and you look in the mirror and it's distorted, but it comes back to you even bigger. And when you're in a place of relative well-being with inside yourself and your partner's in a place of relative well-being inside them, chances are you enjoy each other's company. Mm-hmm. And when you're not or they're not, chances are you don't. And what you decide to do about it depends on what you make up about why you're not enjoying each other's company anymore. So that was my ramble. What did you hear? What struck you?
The first thing that automatically jumped out at me was when you were talking about having, I think you were saying how much you enjoyed being in partnership. And I actually have found that I'm happier when I'm not around him, when I'm alone, or when I get to do things on my own, and that when we're together, more often than not, it's not fun. There are moments, you said, when we're both clear and in a good place that it's enjoyable still, but it seems like those moments are so few that I'm happier in general on my own more often than not. So,
okay. So now let me ask you a question, because if I don't ask this, you're going to ask yourself this later.
Mm-hmm.
And I just assume we talk about it when we're both in conversation together. Mm-hmm. What do you think would be different if you made the decision to commit fully to the relationship, to stay in the relationship? I'm not suggesting that, understand. I'm just asking you, what do you think would be different? Because that's where you started.
What's coming up first for me is I feel like I have to give up certain things that I enjoy that are not really harmonious with the relationship in order to make it keep working.
Let me ask you another question. If it was just about, you know, your inner sense of direction, you know, do you want to be in this relationship going forward?
I feel like the truth is more often than not that I do want to leave. I think I'm just too scared.
Okay. I understand that. It's scary to make big changes in our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, that's one of those things that's just true. You know, it's part of the human design is that, you know, because we think in terms of our circumstances being something that impacts our well-being, when we make a change in our circumstances, we get worried about what impact is that going to have on my well-being.
Right.
Now, here's the basis that I, as best I can see, makes all the difference in the world when it comes to making those kinds of decisions. To the extent that I can see that my well-being is not what's at stake. Because let me ask you this. If it wasn't you who was going to stay or go, if it was your partner, do you see that if he decided to stay or she decided to stay, that you could be happy? And if he decided to go, you could be happy? That would not ultimately be the determinant on whether or not you had a wonderful life?
Yes. I get scared, but yes.
Sure, absolutely. So can you see by that same psychologic, right? Psychological is what we're looking at, by that same notion. Can you see that you could stay and have your well-being, and you could leave and have your well-being?
I know that.
Okay. So I don't want to, and I really don't want to, I don't want to sound like in any way I'm pushing for a particular decision or a timing of a decision. What I'm just pointing to is when people make decisions out of a sense of urgency, generally speaking, they make bad decisions.
Yeah. I've seen that.
So if, you know, the reality is, if you're not clear, then you're not clear right now.
Okay.
And that's going to be your experience. And if you keep looking in the direction as best you can of your own well-being and the I don't want to say permanent nature of it, because it comes and goes in terms of our experience, but let me say the innate nature of it. Which is to say that it never really goes anywhere. It just gets, we get disconnected from it, reconnected to it. It gets covered over, then we're clear again.
Mm-hmm.
Then at some point, you'll know what to do. And when that point comes, my deep, profound coaching is, do it.
Okay.
And when you don't know what to do, don't do it.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shannon.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. I often wonder if people listening to the show the first time go, well, what? He didn't give her any advice. Where's the advice? I thought this was a coaching show. My experience of advice, and I've done shows on this, and if you listen often, you've probably heard me say some variation on this, that the problem with advice is that when we are clear in ourselves, when we are in a state where we could really take somebody's advice, we don't need their advice because we're really clear and we can hear our own wisdom speak. When we're all muddled and confused and caught up and we've lost our bearings and we have a sense of urgency and we most want people's advice, well, we're too caught up and confused and off our game to actually follow the advice. And, you know, one of the examples I often use is, and I'm gonna tell you something that you probably don't know. Smoking is bad for you. I know. I mean, it's gotta be a bit of a shock to the system to find that out. And yet, despite the fact that we all know that, we all know that there are certain foods that are good for us and certain foods that don't promote health, and there are certain activities that are good for us and other activities that don't promote good health. The reason that we don't do that isn't because we don't know. It's not, generally speaking, because we're missing information. It's because we're out of touch with our own wisdom and our own common sense. And for me, one of the great things about life, one of the great things about human beings, is that human beings do share a common sense. We do share an ability to look at life relatively from a state of mind of relative clarity, from a state of mind of relative peace, from a level of consciousness and a quality of mind that's really quite wonderful. And in that state of mind, a lot of what to do or not do is just obvious to us. Another analogy I'll sometimes use for it is if you're standing next to somebody on a balcony overlooking a beautiful meadow, overlooking a beautiful sunset, and they're wearing dark glasses that are so dark that they can't see, and they ask you to describe the sunset for them, they ask you to describe the meadow, you could do that, or you could help them take their glasses off so they could see it for themselves. And wherever possible, to me, that's what transformative coaching at least is about. That's what the kind of coaching that I love is about. You might not know what to do, but you have the capacity to know that. That answer is available to you. It is as available to you as it is to me, as it is to anyone else. We had a wonderful call earlier today with a woman named Nancy Klein. If you don't know her work, I think I have done a show or two with her. But you can go to supercoachacademy.com, sign up for the Taste of Supercoach Academy, and you can listen back to that call. And you can also probably find her books online, Time to Think and More Time to Think, two of the just most wonderful books about the amazing capacity of the human mind that I've read. And one of the things that really struck me in our conversation is she talked about that in the coaching conversation, one of the things that really makes a difference is to recognize that there are two experts in the room. It's not that, oh, the client has all the answers and I know nothing. And it's not that I have all the answers and the client knows nothing. It's that regardless of our knowledge base, regardless of our reference of experiences we've had up until this moment, we both have access to the resource of mind. We both have access to that place of unlimited potential for new thought and new experience. And it occurs to me that the way that we access it, the way that it works, is as simple as we aim our minds in a direction, and then a flow of fresh thinking in that direction comes out. So let's say that you want to get some insight into love and relationship. Well, if you simply aim your attention on your relationship and your past history of love, you're going to get a lot of recycled thinking. You're going to get your own thinking played back, or the stuff that you've read played back again and again and again, and it's going to get very loopy in there. It's going to get very repetitive. It's going to get very regurgitative. If you look in the direction of the nature of love, and the nature of relationship. In other words, what is love at the human level? How do human beings do love? How do human beings do relationship? What do human beings do in relationship? That same resource of mind will start pouring forth all sorts of fresh ideas and fresh thoughts about that you get to experience as insight, that you get to experience as wisdom. And there'll be a lot of common sense that starts to emerge as well. If you then want to make more money and you don't start looking at your situation and what you're going to do, but instead you look at what do human beings do about money? What is money to human beings? What is it in our lives? And you stay with that inquiry, not as a desperate thing, but just looking in that direction and not really doing much of anything, then the flow of thinking will naturally begin to emerge. And you'll start to get all sorts of fresh thinking, new ideas, new thoughts about the nature of money and its relationship to well-being and its relationship to our lives. And you'll experience those fresh thoughts and new ideas as insights. And that will lead you to know exactly what to do about your own financial life. And really, that's maybe our theme for the show that I'll finish with, is that if you look at 6,000 feet instead of 6 inches, if you look from 50,000 feet instead of 5 feet, you just see your situation as being part of the human experience, and life gets easier and easier and easier. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Be back with a new one in a couple weeks. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.